ain't the kind to wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. Simply unprofessional. Good evening, fellow human beings from Earth, the planet that we're all on, and any non-humans that might happen to be listening. I myself, of course, am a human with the two arms and the two ears and the three eyes. What's that? Oh, right. The two eyes. I'm here today to talk to you all about a game called Millennia that I am not using to learn all about human history in order to conquer your planet. So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. We could also talk about other things that us humans like to talk about, like how some roads and highways can get us places faster than other roads and highways. Right. The different things you can do with bread. Anyway, back to Millennia. So Millennia is a new game from Paradox. It is very much similar to Civilization, which is a game that I also enjoy. So I haven't finished a game of this yet. I'm only partway through. I've been playing for a couple days, a couple hours a day, so you know, it's a long game, just like Civ. But it has some key differences which make it interesting, because I've played Civ a lot. I still play Civ sometimes, but I'm used to Civ. I can beat Civ pretty easily. I've been doing some challenge things on Civilization just to make it more difficult to win, just because I'm so used to it. I know, like, the tricks and stuff to win. You can ask anybody I've played against. They're always like, why does Rob always win? Because I play it a lot, and I've learned a lot of stuff. This one's brand new. Just came out a couple weeks ago, I think. Hasn't been very long. But the differences with this one is there's a lot of different needs for your people, for one thing. Like, Civ mostly is like, oh, you need to make sure that you have enough food and enough entertainment and enough space for living spaces. This has like the same, that has those things. It has, you need food, you need living space, and then you need, it's called amenities in Civ, but in this it's called luxuries. But your people need have certain other needs too. Like each city, basically, it needs food, it needs housing, it needs sanitation, it needs luxuries, it needs education, power, religion, and ideology. Some of the things in the current, because like I said, I haven't finished, so I'm only partway through the game. I think I'm in like the eighth age. But I think one of the needs is eventually information. So basically each city has like an overall percentage of the needs you're meeting, and then it shows you each one. Like currently the city I'm looking at, I have way more than sufficient housing, food, and luxury, but I am in the red in sanitation. I'm just a little over 100% of education and power, and then I'm in the red for ideology as well. So basically, I have to find a way to bring those two things up if I want to keep the citizens happy and keep them from revolting. Because each city also has an unrest meter that shows you what is causing, like, as it starts to fill up, it goes from unrest to rebellion and stuff like that. So you want to try and keep that at zero, and if you hover over it, it shows you what currently you're neutralizing unrest and how much unrest it's gaining, each city. And then you have your main city for each region, which is, like, my main capital is Stockholm, because I chose to be Sweden. Because, you know, I am a Swede and not an alien from another planet. and then as you progress, you can build towns for each main city in your region. So you have a main city that's the capital city of a region, and then you can build up so far up to three towns. I don't know if there's more. But as you go through, like, different ages and research different technologies, you can build more towns. And then you have to build the towns in order to increase your population. Because after a certain amount of time, even if you have enough living space, they'll stop growing unless you basically level up the region by creating more towns. and then the towns, too, each town has, like, a list of things it could be. Like, you can change it to farming town, lumber town, mining town, coastal town, and so on and so forth, that each have different things that they give to the main city. And then, like Civ, you can build the areas all around you. Some of them have resources, like there's gold, you can build mines, there's coal, you can build mines, there's deer, you can build hunting lodges. There's cotton, you can build cotton plantations, there's grapes, you can build wineries, there's wheat and rice, and, like, in fish, you can build fishing boats. So basically, like, that's kind of the same as Civ, if you've ever played Civ. You build logging camps in the trees and stuff like that. And then there are other improvements, because it shows you in each city what improvements you're getting. Like, currently in Stockholm, I am getting wheat and wood and bones and meat and iron and coal. But then you can build other buildings that turn those into stuff. So, like, I have a mill that turns the wheat into flour, and then I have a bakery that turns the flour into bread. So then it shows you what's being used and, like, what you're actually getting from it. 'Cause, like, the flour gives the wheat gives me 3 food for each wheat, and then the flour gives me, turning it into flour gives me 6 food for each flour. So that doubles it, and then each bread from the wheat gives me 10 food. Like, it doesn't stack, like, I'm not getting 16 or 19, but basically turning the wheat from the 6 into bread turns it into 10, so it's 10 instead of 6. So, like, the items that you're using up are grayed out, and then it shows you underneath that what items you are currently producing. And then under that, like, it has little symbols, pictures for all the things that you are using to produce the stuff that's underneath it. And then, like, the pictures of things that are lit up are what you're producing. And then under that are things in red that are currently things that you, if you had more of, like, currently it says I have 2 flour in the red because my bakery is improved. So if I had 2 more, it's basically telling me if I had 2 more flour, I could bake 2 more bread. But I don't currently have the wheat to do that, so. And then under that is anything you're exporting to other towns. Because when you build railway stations, you can export some things from one city to other cities. Because you need power, and some of the places where I built don't have coal or oil or aether. So I can't get any power there unless I ship. So I'm currently shipping coal from Stockholm to a different city. Göteborg. I just left the city. You can change the city names if you want, but I just left them. But basically, that's how they're producing power, is because I'm shipping them coal because they don't have anything that creates power. So basically, at this point, but I only just got that last... the last age. And then there's also, in addition to that, because like all that has to be built on your land, like all that kind of stuff, like the bakery and the mill and like the blast furnaces for melting metals and all that, and the mines and the ranches for the cows and the clay mine and the brickworks and stuff like that. That all has to be built on the land that is encompassed by your borders. But your city, your main city itself, can build buildings that also have benefits for you. And then those can also be upgraded as you go, as you unlock new technologies. Like, I have stone towers that were originally, like, wooden towers. They're currently stone towers in this age. I can upgrade them to surface-to-air missile towers now. because they unlocked that in this age. There's a whole bunch of, like I have an oracle that gives me art, cult, and culture XP. I have a police department that reduces unrest. I have a museum that increases education and luxury. I have a lifting tower that gives me improvement points. I have the Academy of Science, which gives me specialists. I have the public library, which gives me knowledge. I have National Monument, which gives me influence. I have a grocery store, which gives me food. But like those all started off as like other things, like the grocery store was originally the granary, and then as I got new technologies, I was able to upgrade it to the grocery store. Public library was once the Hall of Heroes, I think. Now there's sewers. It was originally like a fountain, I think. And before that, maybe a well. Like, as you go, you build buildings in your city to help with your needs and stuff, and then as you unlock, you can upgrade those buildings with production. So certain things that you produce give you production, which allows you to build stuff faster and whatnot. So like all the iron ingots that I mine and stuff, they give me production, and then if I iron, like rocks and stuff, and then if I melt them into iron ingots, the ingots give me even more production and stuff. So each product that you create gives you certain things, like the fish give me food, the clay gives me, what does clay by itself give me? Where is the clay? Clay gives me one production, but then if I turn it into bricks in the brickworks, the bricks give me two production, two improvement points, and one art XP. and then, like, I can turn iron into steel now, with the steel gives me six production, where the iron gives me three. I can turn the steel into tools, which gives me 8 production each for each tool, and then I can turn tools into machines, which give me 4 improvement points for each tool, or machine rather. So like each thing you can turn into other things that give you more products or whatnot. And then, like I said, all the buildings give you certain abilities or XP. So not only do you need, like, the stuff that your city needs, you also need XP to unlock abilities for your whole nation. Like, there's government, and then you can gain certain things give you government XP. There's exploration, certain things give you exploration XP. Warfare, engineering, diplomacy, and arts. So everything there, there's different things that give you XP towards all of those. And then each of them has a different different things you can use the points for as you get XP. Like, government has spawned settlers, create inquisition, exploration has spawned explorer, spawned prospector, spawned utility ship, scientific process, claim territory, warfare has volunteer army, reinforcements, forced march, engineering has expand town, rebuild ruined town, spawn iron prospector, spawn pioneer, public improvements. Diplomacy has spawn envoy, spawn merchant, integrate vassal and bribe other nation. And then the arts have spawn artist, immigration, promote culture, religious celebration, spread religion, religious holidays, and such, so then each of those two has a special social fabric that they can do. Like, the government the more you get points in government, it reduces the expansion costs. The more you get in exploration, it reduces research costs. The more you get in warfare, reduces your upkeep of your armed forces. Ingenuity is from engineering, gives you cost improvements, cost less. Diplomacy gives you tolerance points, which increases your wealth per turn, and then the arts give you community, which reduces your unrest per turn. And then there's research and ages. So each age has a certain number of things you can research. So you start off in the Age of Stone. And I think there's 6 different technologies you can research with knowledge points. Like, as you get things that generate knowledge. And then, so that increases how much you're learning per turn. And then you can research stuff. So in the beginning, I believe there were 6 in the Age of Stone. And you can, if you have to research at least 3 technologies out of the 6 in the Age of Stone. And then you can choose to go on to the next age if you want to. Or you can stay and research all 6 technologies in the first age before moving on. So if you are the one that moves on to the next age, you get bonuses for that. And then sometimes there's multiple ages to choose from. And depending on what you've unlocked in the previous age, you can choose what the new age is. And sometimes there's these ones called crisis ages, which you unlock by making mistakes. And if you get locked into one of those because you met the criteria, you get stuck in a crisis age no matter what you do, unless you can delay long enough for someone else to change the era to a new age. So there's standard ages. There's variant ages, there's crisis ages, and then there are victory ages. So the standard ages are like the regular ages through history. Basically the same things and technologies that we are like learned until there's a future one. Until then, it's just basically the same things we've learned, the same type of ages we've always had in real history. Variant ages are things that along the way you can do certain things to create variant ages, which I did 2, I believe. And then, like I said, there are things that you can do wrong that you end up in crisis ages where things are like bad. And then the victory ages mostly are at the end, but there are some early ones so that you can win the game super early if you get into those victory ages and you manage to win. So most of the non-standard ages, if you get into one, you then can only choose the standard age for the next one after, no matter what you did. So currently I'm in the Age of Rocketry, whereas before this I ended up in a variant age, and then so the Age of Rocketry was my only choice. But normally, like, each age, except for the first couple, there's, like, 4 choices or 4 different ones that you could end up in, depending on what you did in the previous age. Which is another, like, cool difference from Civilization, because Civilization always has the same ages, no matter what. So, like I said, each age has its own technology, and as you learn technologies, you get new buildings you can build, you get new improvements you can build on your land. Some of the things I went over, like prospectors can look for gold or iron or whatever on hills. You have pioneers that can create outposts for you, which basically claims the territory, but you can't do anything with it. It's basically like you're like saying, this stuff is mine until I can get over here. So it's basically like a way to capture resources and defend them until your borders extend, and then you can reclaim the area back into your civilization. But until then, you can't make improvements on it or anything. And it doesn't really, like, it's basically just protecting that area until you can claim it as part of your, like, it puts up your borders so that other people can't come and be like, I'm going to build right here. And then there's also vassals, which are basically smaller nations that are part of you that have the same, like, colored border as you, and they, like, basically they send you stuff, like they send you gold every turn and sometimes like production and whatnot, and knowledge and whatever, depending on what improvements are within their borders. But you don't get to choose for them. Like, they choose the improvements they build, stuff. Like, even though they're part of you, like, you can tell them, like, and you can have your troops go there and protect them from enemies and whatnot. But they're basically, like, almost autonomous, where you can't really control what they do. They can only get so large as well. I think they can get a max population of 10, and that's it. And their borders only grow so large. Whereas your main regions, they can, their borders continue to grow throughout the game. And then, so you start off with your one city that you can control, which is usually your capital city, which in mine it was Stockholm. And then you can, like I said, you can have these vassals. Like, you build settlers, but the settlers create vassals, and then you have this thing where it's called integration. So once integration reaches 100, you can integrate the smaller nation and make it into a city that you do control that can get bigger and stuff, and then you can build buildings in it and whatnot. It takes government XP to integrate, and eventually it costs more every time. So currently it's beyond what I can get, because I can only get up to 400 XP government XP before it just stops. Like, that's the max I can generate each turn, and the next integration is 428. So there's no way I can integrate more cities until it increases again, which I don't know if it does at this point, because it just increased to 400 this last age that I entered. So it may go up to 500, and then I'd be able to at least do one more city, but it kind of limits how many actual cities that you can create that are you control. I think I have five? One, two, or no, I have more than that. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I have eight full cities that are under my complete control, and then I have like five vassals and then like three outposts. But you can keep creating the vassals and outposts as much as you want. It's just that they're not as, like, and they'll give you stuff, obviously, like I said. They'll send you production and gold and knowledge and whatnot. But they don't, you can't actually, like, they don't contribute to your overall stuff. And you can't control what they build or anything like that. But I could keep making those more even now. Because I have the map I'm on had two continents, so I actually have a bunch on the other continent now. But I don't have any actual, like, cities that I control on another continent. They're all the little smaller vassal cities and outposts. Because I can't integrate them anymore. So, something to think about for next time for me. But they also have, like, there's, like, national monuments, not national monuments, they're like natural things like Mount Fuji and the Borneo rainforest and the Grand Canyon. So in the third age, I believe, you create explorers and you can go in and explore those areas, and it gives you certain stuff. Like, it's like a little mini story that you go through and you can explore. And if you're the first one to explore, you get like bonuses and stuff. Actually, I don't think if you finished exploring it, I don't think anyone else can explore it. But that's another cool little mechanic that they did. And then there's one of the ages I did was a variant age, which is the Age of Heroes. So I could create heroes and have them like go on missions, like fighting monsters and stuff. And it would give me certain bonuses depending on what I did. But there were little like story markers around the map that I had to get, like move them to do the stories, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, so the ages, like, you start off in the Age of Stone. Like I said, there's six technologies. You have to do at least three to move on to the Age of Bronze, which is the second. Now, if you do only three and then move on to the Age of Bronze, you can go back and redo the three that you didn't do if you want to. It's actually ends up being a little cheaper for to do it that way because they cost less in the new ages. But each new age is also more difficult to go back just because it adds more needs. Like every age you go to adds more things that your people need. So then you kind of have to focus on that and get the new technologies in order to meet those needs. So it's more difficult to go back and do the technologies that you missed from the earlier ages because you're too busy trying to get up in to speed with the new technologies that you need. That actually happened to me about halfway through. I think it was the fifth age. But anyway, I'll get to that. So Stone Age is first, then Bronze Age. Those are the only ones that you start off in stone, so you don't get to pick it. And then Bronze Age is the only choice that you can go up from the Stone Age. So after the Bronze Age, you have three ages that you could possibly do. The Age of Iron, which is the standard age in normal history. The Age of Blood, which is a crisis age. And then the Age of Heroes, which is a variant age. Now, the Age of Blood, you could pick to go to the Age of Iron at any time after you've researched the three technologies. Age of Blood and the Age of Heroes have prerequisites that you have to meet in order to move on to those. So I was actually able to go to the Age of Heroes. I think it was discover three or more landmarks with a scout. So if you discovered at least three landmarks, like I said, like the Grand Canyon, the Great Barrier Reef, Mount Fuji, stuff like that. If you discovered at least three of those, then you could choose to go to the Age of Heroes instead of the Age of Iron. And then the Age of Blood is a crisis age, basically, if you're doing a lot of wars, because it was like, I think it's kill six or more units that are not barbarians. So basically, if you're at war and you killed six of an enemy nation's units, then you would get locked into the Age of Blood, which is a crisis age, which I'm assuming is probably everybody's at war and you're trying to kill each other. But like I said, the Age of Heroes is the one I ended up in, where I could spawn heroes and then do those little like side mission things by finding them on the map and sending the heroes in to like fight monsters and stuff like that. And they were like little stories where you got to choose like what you did, like the choose your own path kind of stories. And then after that, I had to go to the Age of Kings, because like I said, every time you do a variant age, you only can choose the standard age, which, so the Age of Kings, if I hadn't, looks like, because I'm actually looking at the wiki, I could have done the Age of Plague, which was a crisis age, or the Age of Monuments, which was a variant age, but I only got a choice of the Age of Kings. So the Age of Plague was consistently failed to provide adequate sanitation, and then the Age of Monuments was own three civic monuments. So I think the civic monuments are, like, you can only build them in your capital city, which I had, what did I have? I have the Hanging Gardens. I have... I have the Great Library. And the Parthenon. So I guess I could have gone if I had the... oh, no, not the Parthenon. Everyone can get that. It's the Hippodrome I have that is only a one-time thing. So the Hippodrome, the Hanging Gardens, and the Great Library. So if I had been able to choose, I could have chosen the Age of Monuments, but I don't know what happens in that because I didn't get that age. I also don't know what happens in the Age of Plague. I'm guessing, like, disease spreads and people die and you have to figure out what to do about that. So then after that, like I said, I got the Age of Kings. And then the standard age after that was the Age of Renaissance. The Crisis Age was the Age of Intolerance, and the Variant Age was the Age of Discovery. Now, in this one, I got locked into the Age of Intolerance because it's, like I said, it was a crisis age. It was consistent. You get into that one by consistently failing to provide adequate faith, which I did. Because I did not focus on religion, because I normally don't in Civ. But this time, if you didn't want to get into that age, apparently you had to. And I didn't realize it, because every turn it was giving me, like, a negative thing, which I didn't notice. And then when I reached so far into the negative thing for religion, it locked me into the Age of Crisis, no matter what, in the Age of Intolerance, no matter what I did. Like, even if I brought the religion up, which I managed to get it to, like, basically be enough for everybody that wanted it in my cities at the time, the counter wouldn't ever go down. So, for, like, ticking up to the Age of Intolerance, so I was locked in, and if I was the one that advance the age, then it would be the Age of Intolerance. And I slowed down and I researched every technology, hoping one of the other civilizations would push us forward. But you have to research something at every time. So, like, I ran out of things to research, so I had to research the next age. So we ended up in the Age of Intolerance, which was basically, like, a religious war between anyone that had, like, different religions, had terrible relations, like, your relationships plummeted. And you had to provide more buildings with more religion and stuff like that. So that was not fun. So after that age, I ended up... in the Age of Enlightenment, because, like I said, when you do a variant age, you can only choose a standard. So the Age of Enlightenment was the standard. If I hadn't, I could have done the Age of Alchemy, which was the variant, or the Age of Heresy, which is a crisis age. So Age of Alchemy was reached level 5 of the Insight Social Fabric, which I went over the social fabrics. The Insight one was I think that was the Exploration. The Exploration, which reduces the research costs for doing the Insight under the Exploration XP. So if we got that to at least 5, you could go into the Age of Alchemy. Or if you failed to produce enough culture to meet your population's upkeep costs, you could enter the Age of Heresy, which is a crisis age. So normally, if you did those, then the next stage, you wouldn't be able to go into anything but the standard age. But apparently the Age of Heresy, which I never even saw the Age of Heresy because I ended up in the Age of Enlightenment no matter what I did. So it says here that if you end up in the Age of Heresy, if you have at least 30 active cultists from the Age of Heresy, you can then enter a second crisis age after that called the Age of the Old Ones, which I'm assuming has something to do with Cthulhu. That'll be interesting. Maybe I'll try to purposely get that one at some point just to see what happens. So the next ages are, like I said, the Age of Enlightenment is what I ended up in. So the ages after that are the Age of Revolution, which is the standard age, the Age of Aether, which is the variant age, Age of Ignorance, which is the crisis age, and then it had an extra, the Age of the Old Ones, which you had to have the heresy age before that in order to get the Age of the Old Ones. And then the Age of Harmony, which is Victory Age. Oh, I forgot. So back at age 5, when I ended up with the Age of Intolerance, there was also the Age of Conquest, which was the first Victory Age you come up to. So that's your first chance to win the game. So if you can push it into... So that was the Renaissance, the Age of Intolerance, the Age of Discovery, and the Age of Conquest. But like I said, I got stuck in the Age of Intolerance, so I couldn't change it no matter what. But if you pushed it into the Age of Conquest, you had to have at least 50% more military power than the next highest nation. So basically, you basically had to have at least 50% more military power than all the other nations of the world. You could push it into the Age of Conquest, which I'm assuming makes you try to conquer cities of other civilizations. And then if you get so far, you win. I mean, I'm not sure. But that's the very first victory age you come to, which it's, I guess it's basically like if you're that far ahead in military power, you should just end the game at this point because you're going to win no matter what. So now in the seventh age, so the Age of Harmony is another victory age in the seventh age, which you can convert at least 30% of the world's population to your religion in order to enter it. So I'm assuming you have to convert a larger amount of the people in that age in order to win. I'm not sure, maybe like 80%? I don't know. Again, I don't know what actually happens in that age, so I'm just guessing. But that would be another victory one. If you complete whatever victory conditions are in the Age of Harmony, you win the game. So I ended up with the Age of Aether, which is the variant age, which basically made everything like you can collect aether from the top of mountains, which is like basically a magical like essence that gives you power. In this age, there was like technologies that normally wouldn't have appeared because it's a variant age in history. Like I could create a mad science lab. I could create automatons. I could create land ships, like dirigible balloons, air taxis, sky hotels, which are like basically giant floating places to live that increase your living. Like it all had to do with like the air in the sky. So there's like I've got weird like airships and stuff over most of my cities, guarding and protecting them. I'm collecting this magical aether stuff from the tops of mountains. And then all of my factories and stuff are now run by robots and whatnot. But yeah, so like it opened up a bunch of stuff that you could build that normally in normal, like if you just stuck with the normal ages, you wouldn't be able to. And I still have all that stuff, even though I've moved on to regular ages since then. So it's pretty cool. Like I said, it changes what you can do depending on what the ages you manage to unlock. So then, because I went to a variant age, the only age I had that I could choose was the Age of Rocketry, which is what I'm currently in right now in the game, is the Age of Rocketry. If I had just done the standard age last age, I could have ended up in the Age of Dystopia, which is a crisis age, the Age of Utopia, which is a variant age, or the Age of Generals, which is a victory age. So to get the crisis, you had to have at least 3 chaos events during the seventh age. Oh yeah, I forgot to go over that. Okay, so there's, besides everything else, that there's an innovation meter and a chaos meter. So your innovation meter, you can increase it with your culture power by collecting culture. Because there's research and there's culture. I forgot to mention the culture power. So the research is the technologies of each age. And then, I said before that you had to, there was 6, and then you had to research 3 of them to move on. It increases, like, as you go up, cause, and now there's, like, 8 and you have to do at least 4 before you can move on, and then, or you can do all 8 and then move on. And then the culture has, if you accumulate culture, and then culture has special abilities, depending on what, like, things you unlock. Because there's also, there's different governments you can unlock, and then there's different social fabrics, I think? No, not social fabrics. I already talked about that. They're, like, basically what you're going to, like, your society, the society something. It's basically what your society is going to focus on and during that time, and they give you different abilities that come from the different XPs. Like, I have machinery, which comes from, I think the first one I did was actually the Olympians. So the one I chose for the first time you could choose this was the Olympians. So that was under the diplomacy. So any diplomacy XP I could use to unlock Olympic powers. There's one that's the Olympic Games. And then it improved, like, what I got from the Olympic Games. It gave my envoys faster movement because they were, like, running and stuff like that. It gave me better defense for my line units because they were used to, like, working out and stuff for the games and whatnot. Like, it explains each one. Like, they give you different things. Like, for each nation that participates in the Olympic Games, I get knowledge for each one, and then I get wealth for now, because that's one of the other things I unlocked. So each one of those, like, has things you can unlock. And then, so, like, one of the abilities of my culture, if I fill my culture meter, is to hold the Olympic Games. So I get stuff from that. There's ability to call a truce if you're at war. You can raise an army. You can create new towns. You can absorb outposts into your nation. And then if your government is ready, like if you're ready for a new government by unlocking all the old pieces of the government, there's also peaceful revolution. So you can change to a new, higher form of government if it's available. But yeah, so like all the powers from that are used in culture. And then, like I said, so the Olympians was the first one I chose, and then I chose machinery, which is under engineering. So engineering points unlocked machinery. So that's how I got, like, tinkerers. I got a clock tower I could build. I got the ability to create trebuchets, stuff like that from that. And then I had scholars, which was from exploration XP, which allowed me to build the Great Library. I was able to, like, translate 4 manuscripts into books, which give me research and knowledge and technology. And, like, there's a bunch of different things under that. And then the current one I picked was Space Agency, so that I could try and work on winning the space race to the moon, which unfortunately is not a victory condition. It just gives you stuff if you are the first one to the moon. So I'm currently doing the Space Agency, which is also Exploration XP, but I could have chosen other things. Like, I could have chosen, like movies or whatever, celebrities, and then, like, I could generate celebrities that could do different things if I picked that. There was special forces or something under the warfare, where I could, like, make like special forces appear at cities I was attacking if I was at war and stuff like that. Like, each one, like, each time you get to pick different, like, subcategories of all of the domains that you get XP for, that have special, like, card abilities that you have to pay for to unlock. But there's a lot of stuff to do. I was also talking, what was I just talking about? Why did I bring this up? Oh, because I was in the Age of Rocketry. So, like I said, one of the things is innovation, which you can get extra innovation from culture. Culture, one of the things is to increase your innovation each turn. And the other thing is chaos. So there's innovation events that come around. Once your innovation bar is full, it increases the chances that an innovation event will happen, and then the bar goes back down to zero. So innovations, like, it gives you special stuff that just is, I think it's kind of random, but it has usually has to do with whatever age you're in. Like, the when I was in the Age of Aether, like, it was like, oh, your Aether refineries now do this, or you can choose an amount of gold instead if you don't want that. And then the crises are kind of the opposite. Like, the more, like, war and stuff you do, or if you're not meeting the needs of your people, you generate chaos. And then when the chaos bar is full, you have a chance of creating a chaos event until, and then once you do, the bar empties and you start over again. So the chaos events are like, oh, this certain people are revolting, so then, like, a bunch of revolutionary things appear and you have to fight them, or, like, this place is on fire and, like, a bunch of your stuff gets destroyed and you have to repair it all, or, they'll be, like, there's unrest with the workers and then, like, some of your production will be down for a certain number of turns and whatnot. So then the chaos ones, you can pay gold instead to not have basically throw money at the problem and not have it happen. But anyway, so that's why I was talking about it, because one of the things that could have happened was the Age of Dystopia and the Age of Utopia. Dystopia was if you got 3 chaos events in the 7th age, it would lock you into the chaos Age of Dystopia, and then if you got 3 innovation events during the 7th age, you could choose the Age of Utopia instead. And then the Age of Generals, which is the Victory Age, you have at least 50% more power than the next highest. So that's basically the same as the Victory Age, is the first Victory Age with the Age of Conquest. So I'm assuming it's probably the same to choose victory for either of those. And then from here, let's see. I've only researched one technology so far in this stage of rocketry. But it looks like if I do the 4 or if I finish the 8 or whatever. So the next standard age is the Age of Information. The next variant age is the Age of Ecology, which I have to have all the social fabric tracks half completed, which I already do. So I could choose the Age of Ecology if I wanted to. And then the Crisis Age is the Age of Visitors, which it says, discover that we are not alone. Possible Crisis Age. So I don't know. I guess that we get invaded by aliens in that one. I don't know what the prerequisite just says, discover that we are not alone. So I don't know how that happens. I'm assuming it has something to do with the space race at some point. So I guess I'll see what happens there. But yeah, so like there's a lot of interesting stuff. The graphics are okay. That's the only like part. Like the fights, this like opens up a little thing to show your people actually fighting. And the graphics of it aren't, like, super. But, I mean, it's okay. It's a little hard to tell from the, like, looking down at the map what some things are. Because, like, some of the, like, clusters of buildings for different things look very similar. So you actually have to, like, hover over it and see where it is. Because, like, this is like, oh, this is your bakery. It's a bunch of buildings all clustered together. And I'm like, what's this? Oh, this is housing. This is a bunch of houses that increase your housing. It's like they look almost exactly the same, but yeah. So that better graphics would be better, but I mean, it's all right. That's the only like real negative I have so far. I've seen complaints on the page in the heck is it called Steam, like the Steam page reviews, like some people complain that the AIs are too similar, like they don't really do, they all do the same thing, but my AIs have been very different. Like one of them keeps attacking me, a couple of them wanted to be my friend, one of them keeps, like, closing their borders and then opening their borders. It's kind of like a, eh, we don't like you, eh, we like you, eh, we don't like you. But, I mean, they've all been acting kind of differently. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so far I'm enjoying it. I like it. There's also some DLCs out for it already, which I haven't gotten because I wanted to make sure. It came out when the game came out, but I wasn't sure if I would like it enough. But I might get the DLCs when I have money because I'm enjoying it. I think if you like Civ, you'll probably like this. It's pretty fun so far. But yeah. And then there's like, I think there's only one more age after the next one. So I think there's 10 ages, and then all the age 10s are victory ages. I think there's one crisis age, and then all the rest are victory ages. So, but yeah. So I'm getting kind of close to the end. I just started age 8. I've got two more ages to go. Let's see if I end up contacting aliens, I guess. But yeah, so that's Millennia in a nutshell. I'm sure some of it was confusing because I kind of went out of order and forgot some things and then brought them up later, but yeah, no, that's me. This is why we're unprofessional. So yeah. Do I have a science corner? What's that thing that Webby sent me the other day? The stellar explosion. Okay, we could talk about this. So there is a binary star system. I think it's 4,000 light years away. Let me actually look at the article. Hold on. 3,000 light years away. It's called T. Coronae Borealis, which is a binary star system. Is going to have an extremely rare cosmic event later this year. They're not sure exactly when. But basically, the two stars are going to come super close together, and the smaller star is going to burn off the surface of the red giant, which is going to cause it to become super bright for several days. So you'll be able to see that with the naked eye. The only thing is that because it is a star, obviously, like, unless you see it beforehand and see how it looks, you're not going to notice that it's brighter, because it's not going to be like, oh my god, it's so bright I can see it during the day. It's more like it's going to become a brighter star than it was at night for a few days. It might be super noticeable. I mean, it's going to be noticeable, but like, if you didn't know how it looked before, I don't know if you would really notice that it's brighter. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be like, oh my god, it's super huge and visible in the sky. It's just basically going to be a brighter star. So I don't know if you would just be like, you might be like, oh hey, I can see that star over there. Is that the North Star? No, it's that Corona star, whatever. Borealis, the Coronae Borealis kind of thing. So yeah, but I mean, it's still cool. It happens every maybe like 100 years, I think it said. But yeah, so, you know, go out and look for it when it happens, and I will try to let you know when that happens, because they don't know when it's going to happen. But it says normally the outer temperature of the red giant is around 4,000 to 5,800 degrees Fahrenheit, but when the other star touches it temporarily, that will raise and flare to 360,000 degrees, which is like almost 10 times hotter than it usually is, which, so it'll be almost 10 times brighter. But yeah. But yeah, so it's going to happen sometime this year. They don't know exactly when yet, but sometime before December, obviously. Well, before the end of December. But yeah. I mean, the really cool thing, which it may not even happen in our lifetimes, will be when Betelgeuse explodes. Because Betelgeuse is an unstable red giant that's going to go supernova and create a black hole. And the supernova will be so bright that we will be able to see it during the daytime for at least like a week or so. So there'll basically be the sun and then a tiny sun in the sky. I hope it happens in my lifetime because I'd like to see it, but they don't know when for sure that's going to happen either. It could be now, it could be in 100 years, but it's going to happen relatively soon. Star and space wise, but quote unquote soon, but yeah, but that will definitely be spectacular. Also, that because of how long it takes the light from Betelgeuse to reach us, it could have already gone supernova and we wouldn't know for a few days anyway. But yeah, that should be cool. I'm rambling a little bit because it's very late. It's almost 4 a.m. and I got up at noon, so yeah. And Taylor Swift had an album come out today at midnight. The Failed Poet Society. Someone's gonna murder me because I don't remember the name of it correctly. We'll find it. The Tortured Poets Department. And then, so that came out at midnight. I think it had like 15 songs. And then at 2 a.m., she released a second album called The Tortured Poets Department, The Anthology, which also had another 15 songs. So, lots of Taylor Swift tonight. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a thing that happened too. So, that's your life advice. Be like Taylor Swift. Put out 30 songs in one night, and everyone will stay up and listen. I actually haven't listened to any of the Taylor Swift songs. I just happened to be up this late recording SU and, you know, playing Millennia. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's it for the night. You can follow me if you'd like on Twitter at Confessor_X and on Twitch at twitch.tv/ConfessorX. And I will see you all next time. And as always, fuck Booster Gold.
I ain't the kind who wear a tie. But I'm up to 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. Simply unprofessional.